Poem. Today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Ayin Gimel Menachos 73. We learned back in our Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, the beginning of the chapter, Elu Menachos Nikmatzos. We learned that the Mincha of an Ovdei Kochavim, the Mincha of an idolater, is allowed to be eaten by a Kohen. So on today's Daf Yomi, Rav Huna introduces a law, and the Gemara is going to clarify whether or not this law is how it relates to our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Shalmei Ovdei Kochavim, that the peace offerings or the shlamim, the carbon shlamim, the offerings which are typically eaten by a Kohen and by an Israelite, they have a law like an olos, meaning to say they are not eaten. At first glance, this would seem to contradict our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is saying that the mincha is eaten. So the Gemara says, what's the source for Rav Huna's position? Perhaps it is a verse, and perhaps it is logic. What is the logic? Ove kochavim libo l'shamayim, that the idolater, his intent is for heaven. And Rashi, in the manuscript, Rashi, not on the page, but the manuscript of Rashi, adds that since the idolater doesn't really know all the laws of a sacrifice, even if he says it's a carbon shlamim, we assume that his intent was to give everything to Shemayim. His intent was to burn the entire offering. And so therefore we say that if idolater offers a shlamim, even though typically a shlamim is eaten, in this case we say it's entirely burnt. And perhaps there's a verse that supports Rav Huna's position, and the verse is based upon Leviticus 22:18, where it states, Asher yakrivu Hashem le'olah. The verse says, ish, any person, and from the double expression of man, it means includes even an idolater, who brings an offering to Hashem as an olah, which means that every offering of an idolater is considered to be an olah and is entirely burnt. So comes along Rav Chama bar Guri, and he challenges this, that an Ove kochavim shehisnadev lahavi shlamim. Let's say the idolater makes a vow to bring a shlamim offering, goes to an Israelite, and Yisrael ochon, and his son Lakoin Akoin ochon, which implies that it's not an Ola, but it could be a shlamim. So Amarava Hachi Kamar, this is what it means, that if he gives it in the intent to atone for an Israelite, the Israelite could eat it. So comes along another challenge, Rav Huna's law. This is from Rav Shizvi, because it states in our Mishnah explicitly, Elu Menachos Nikmatos, that Ushiarei Lakohanim, and that includes the Mincha of the idolater. It says in our Mishnah that the offering of an idolater is eaten by a Kohen. So clearly it is not an Ola offering. So the Gemara answers, indeed there are two opinions. There's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara cites a braisa to say there are two opinions whether the offerings of the idolaters are allowed to be eaten or not. As we learned in a braisa, the braisa states, what do we do with the fact that it says ish? Why does it say that? In that verse in Leviticus 22:18, this comes to say that the idolaters are able to make vows and bring offerings in the temple like a person who is born Jewish. And the braisa continues, Asher yakrivu Hashem le'ola, that they bring it as an ola. Eli ela ola. This only tells us an idolater can bring an ola. Shalomim minayin. How do we know that they can also bring a shalomim? Says the verse, Nidrehem. How do we know that they can bring a Toda, says the verse, Nidvosam. And how do we know that they can also bring bird offerings and wine offerings and frankincense and wood offerings? Says the Gemara, Nidrehem, Lechol Nidrehem, Nidvosam, Lechol Nidvosam. So this teaches us that the idolater can bring all sorts of offerings, not just an Ola offering. And this supports the position, that is the position of our Mishnah, that says that the idolater's offerings are eaten by the Kohen. If that's the case, why does it say Ola? Because the idolater is not able to bring an Ola for Naziris. This is the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that indeed the idolater can bring all the offerings, just like the Jew, with the exception of the Naziris. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, Asher yakrivu Hashem le'ola, eli ela ola bovad. Rabbi Akiva's position is that the idolater's offerings cannot be eaten, they are to be totally consumed on the altar, and that reflects the position of Rav Huna. So we see that Rav Huna is following the position of Rabbi Akiva at this point in the Gemara, and that there's a fundamental dispute amongst the Tanoim, what is the status of an offering of an idolater under certain circumstances, can it be eaten? eaten, yes or no? We see from here something that is a fundamental point, that the idolaters were allowed to come to the temple and bring an offering in the temple. Can you imagine an idolater coming into our synagogues today and saying that he or she wants to lead a service? They would be laughed out of most Orthodox synagogues. But the point is that the Torah says explicitly, and the Talmud says explicitly, that the idolater is allowed to come into in the temple and bring an offering. It's just a question of a debate, is what type of offering? Is it an offering that can be eaten or just an olah offering? What about the idea of a Jewish person accepting charity from somebody who is not of the Jewish faith? So the Shulchan Aruch rules in Yoredeah, Simen, Reish, Nun, Dalet, Sif, Aleph, that it's prohibited for a Jew to accept charity in public from somebody who's not Jewish, unless this person cannot live unless they accept this charity. And he is also unable to accept it in private. Then under those circumstances, you could accept it in public. But if they're able to accept it in private, then that is obviously what you should do. And the Shach explains that the reason for this prohibition, and the Taz also joins the Shach, is because it is a desecration of God's name for the Jew to accept the charity from somebody who's not Jewish, because he's showing like the fact that the Jewish people are not able to support him. And so therefore, that is how the Shulchan Aruch rules. And the Shulchan Aruch also rules that if somebody who's not Jewish, the person is a person of status and authority, sends money to a charity to a Jew, the Jew should not return it because of welfare of the kingdom, Shalom Malchus. And so therefore, what should he do if he doesn't want to accept it? In private, he should give the money to somebody who's not Jewish so that they will not further enmity in the world. And so we see from here that ideally the Jewish community should support its own, but if it is in private, it's certainly less of an issue. And the concern is desecration of God's name by not publicly saying we are supporting all the poor people of the Jewish community.